Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to What the Hal? And this time we're talking about the cost of college. And boy, when you think about the cost of college, you almost want to go, what the hell? It's so expensive. Or is it? We assembled a group of people from colleges, community colleges, and even a student and his dad to talk about this very subject. So let's start right here and introduce yourself.
My name's Allison Lepore. I am the Executive Director of Talent and a Master Counselor at CollegeWise.
CollegeWise being?
A national college counseling company that helps families navigate the admissions process with a little joy and less stress.
All right. Brian?
Thank you for having me, Hal. My name is Ryan Corner. I'm the Vice Chancellor for Educational Programs at the Los Angeles Community College District, which has 9 colleges serving 230,000 students in Los Angeles.
That's a whole lot. How many people are at USC? Let's find out from you, Jerry.
USC is over 40,000 students these days.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jerry Lucido. I'm a professor there at USC in the Ressler School of Education. I also run the Center for Enrollment Research Policy and Practice and serve as Associate Dean of Strategic Enrollment Services.
So clearly we have a lot of people here that deal on the university level, but we also have a dad and a son. Joe?
I'm Joe Herbert, and I'm the dad.
You're the dad, but that's not a small thing. That's a big thing.
I'm Sam Herbert. I am the son. I am a high school senior and soon to be freshman at UC Santa Barbara.
So let's start with you and talk about that effort to try to go to UC Santa Barbara. I mean, you went all over the country. You went from one school to the next school to the next school. You looked at schools you could afford. You looked at schools you couldn't afford. Tell me about that experience.
It all started, I don't know when's the first time we went to UCLA to look at it as a place that I, you know, could potentially go to.
Well, I'm an alum of UCLA, so I drug him down to the campus multiple times just to hang out, and hopefully it rubbed off on him.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I checked out UCLA, and I didn't understand, like, you know, going to colleges. And then as I grew older, we traveled to Pittsburgh and Boston, and we looked at Boston University. And at that point, we weren't looking too much at how much it costed. I mean, we had that in mind, but we had the idea of go for it and then see and worry about financials afterwards and get accepted first.
So you were more concerned about what you were going to do as opposed to what you could afford?
At first, yes.
Yeah. And then what happened?
And then the whole process happened, and I got accepted to UC Santa Barbara, Boston University, and some other schools, but Boston and UCSB were top, and it came down to money at that point.
It came down to money, Joe, and so tell us about that.
It always comes down to money. No matter how much his mother and I prepared for this day, this eventuality, we always knew it was going to happen. You just can't seem to save enough money. You know, I have a mortgage, and I work for myself, and yeah. You know, we traded big dollars in L.A., you know, corporate law for a small plaintiff's practice in Ventura County, so the money isn't as great as it was. So I have a lot to do. I have to feed a big octopus. So as much as we loved our son and I wanted him to achieve and realize his dreams, Boston University, very prestigious acting school, he was accepted. We went to Michigan, Carnegie Mellon. He got accepted to SMU, and they offered him a lot of money. But when UCSB came along, I'm able to get him out of there debt-free, which, dang it, is the most important thing to me, because I don't want 17-year-old Sam making a lifelong decision that 25-year-old Sam looks at me and says, what in the heck were you thinking, Dad? Don't you love me enough? We are now wrapped around the axle for $300,000. I can't buy a home, I can't get married, and I can't have children. And I'm an actor. So UCSB is the best compromise ever. He wants to minor in physics. He's a brainiac, smart guy, high SATs, all AP classes. And he's going to go through their acting school, and he has time. He can drive to L.A. for auditions, which he does a lot anyway. So money became very important at the end, much more than it did when we were going through the fantasies of going to Boston. Let's just borrow the money. And I'm so happy.
So you hit a realistic wall, and you said, you know what, I can only do what I can do. And that's what it is for a lot of folks. So, Jerry, let me ask you about this notion that college just costs too much money.
Sure. Well, in some cases, it does cost too much money. But that doesn't mean it's not possible for the great majority of people who want to achieve it. There's another day on the other side of that college education, and that's when you walk and you graduate and you start to earn money and you start to see the advantages of why you did it in the first place.
But I think one of the points that Joe makes, and I kind of agree with him, is, you know, you go to a school, you come out at the end of the school with a $120,000 note, and you end up getting a $17,000 job. How many years is that going to take to pay off?
Oh, there's no question. I think this is what we just heard from Sam and Joe is a reality these days. Families have to plan. Families take responsibility for this. And before, when we used to think about college choices, just go to the place that fits you best. Now you have to say, can I afford that place? And how much debt will I have when I leave? And what kind of job will I have? And can I pay it back? So I think all that planning now makes college going more, more complicated. Quite frankly, I wish it wouldn't be. I wish we would invest a little bit differently to make that decision easier for students to do.
It's a little bit different on the community college level. And so try to explain to me, if you could, Ryan, why it's different on the community college level.
Sure. Well, first of all, the community college tuition is much, much lower in general. But also, 2 years ago, Mayor Garcetti from Los Angeles partnered with us so that we could offer free community college to all first-time, full-time students entering our 9 colleges. And that really provided an excellent opportunity for students to have a very affordable college-going experience. We do, however, face some of the same things that University of California, Santa Barbara, and USC face, which is college is not the only cost of going to college. We also see that there's the cost of housing, the cost of food, and those other basic needs that all students have to face no matter where they're enrolling.
And so it's not just what you pay the school, it's what you pay for your roof and for your groceries and everything else. I have 3 kids. Might as well put this out there that one of them is getting their master's at Harvard. That's not cheap. We've got one at UCLA in computer science, and he's finishing now, and that's not cheap. And then we've got one at the University of Utah, out of state. Had to become a resident of Utah to be able to bring the cost down. But still, that's not cheap. So I've got 3 not cheap kids right now. And it's very expensive. And you know, we work very hard to try to come up with extra money to be able to pay these things because we don't want them to be in a position to have to pay a loan afterwards. And so when we talk about counseling people, Allison, and we talk about how to guide people, is the first thing you do kind of to assess their financial abilities?
I think that's part of the conversation. When we start the college search with families, it starts with fit broadly. Fit is academic, fit is social, fit is financial. And so what do you want to study and where do you want to be and what do you want your life to look like and what can you afford? All those things have to come into play. Otherwise, you end up with options at the end of the day that none of them are actually attainable.
I'm assuming that you have fees for this counseling.
Yeah.
And so is that based on ability or is that just a set schedule of fees?
It's set based on the counselor and the program that a family enrolls in, but we have a pretty wide spread of program options for families. And so the idea for us is that we want families to be able to get good advice at every level. And so for some families, that means they're hiring a counselor to work with them one-on-one through the process. And for some families, it means that they heard us speak at a high school and were able to leave after an hour at junior parent night and feel like they have a handle on the process enough to know what their next steps need to be.
You know, kids go through high school, maybe Sam would kind of support this notion. And they have this idea of what they want to be when they grow up, they think. Mm-hmm. And they talk about what schools they want to go to because their friends are going to those schools. Mm-hmm. How do you dissuade them?
We do a lot of talking. I cannot tell you. Pretty much every kid who walks in our door is somebody who wants to major in business, but they don't maybe like math, or somebody who wants to be pre-med but is struggling in the sciences. It's just all that they know.
I got to tell you, maybe it's just the business I'm in, but I've been out of school for a long time, and I haven't used algebra one day yet.
No, I haven't used algebra either, but I was an English major, so I didn't have to do very much of it.
But see, that's the point. There are a lot of things that you learn in school you don't need.
But I think the expectation now, it used to be that getting a bachelor's degree was going above and beyond, and the expectation now is bachelor's degree is entry point. Every single – you have to have one to get a job, and And what we're looking for is students have to go get the degree checked off, and then what else are they able to accomplish while they're there?
Is that true, though? Is it really true that you have to have a degree in today's world?
I think so, yeah. And I think we're seeing more and more expectations for advanced degrees and things.
Really?
Yeah.
Masters,
and doctors. It's not true everywhere. And there's certainly, I think there's lots of career paths that don't require that. But I think if Sam were to just go off and be an actor and not have gotten a degree and it doesn't work out, not having that degree to fall back on is a huge pain point.
So in other words, by having the degree, if this doesn't work, you're broad enough to be able to be considered
for other
things.
It's going to give them flexibility, absolutely.
Which is very important.
Yeah.
Well, how many students right now do you deal with college-wise? And I guess I'm asking that because I'd like to understand how many kids do it on their own and how many come to places like yours.
Well, you know, CollegeWise is one of many companies who does this work. And the last study that was done by IECA, which is a professional association for independent counselors, said that close to 26% of high school seniors were hiring outside help to get through the process. That looks different. Sometimes it's 1 hour.
How did it get so complicated?
Well, you know, I think that part of it is schools are getting more selective. They have to get pickier because USC is seeing thousands more applications than they ever have. And every year they're seeing more. So how do we parse through a big stack of very high-achieving kids?
Schools are getting more picky, but still, I mean, you've got students that need to go to school.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about public policy, Ryan, and we talk about how things are going to go in the future, costs continuing to go up because they never go down, students maybe not getting accepted because there are plenty of other students that have great grades ahead of them. How do we deal with this in the future? Do we have to change the way we look at education?
I think we do. If you look at California, there was a higher education master plan that said that all California high school seniors should be able to go to college. And a third of them, the top third, were supposed to go to the Cal State system. But what we're seeing is the Cal State system can't even accommodate what we had originally intended them to be able to do.
A case in point, Cal State LA.
Yeah, Cal State LA is one of the more recent, but most of the Cal States have done this, which is they've declared what's called impaction, which allows them to defer students who would ordinarily be able to get into their college. And what those students then do is they come to us and they work through a transfer pathway to get back into the Cal State system. But I think that if we're really going to truly look at public policy and what it's going to take for kids to be able to get into the colleges and get the degrees that they need, we need to look at a reinvestment in higher education. States across the entire nation have cut back what they were spending on higher education. And the people that have bared the brunt of that are Sam and Joe over here, who have to cover the difference that isn't being invested anymore.
The most important thing we do is educate our kids, right?
I would say yes.
And Jerry, I mean, when we talk about the most important thing we do is educate them, we educate them because they're the future leaders, they're the future everything in this country.
Absolutely. The benefits of higher education go beyond to the individual who gets them, right? Individuals with higher education have better, longer lifespans, less job insecurity, higher incomes, more civic participation. Everything we value in society gets built on the foundation of education. One thing I would add to what we just talked about is, and I agree with Ryan, that it's very important that we have further and increasing investment in public investment in education. But that's not to discourage those who would listen to the podcast about what might be able to be done today. We just heard about the opportunity for free community college. That can cut a four-year degree down in terms of its cost a great deal. There is still financial aid at both the public schools and the private schools yes, you need to apply for it. Typically, there's a needs test for that, but you can get a significant portion of that covered. And then even if you have to take loan, and I'm not being Pollyanna here, this is not necessarily all easy, but even if you have to take loan, the average loan of a student leaving a four-year institution in America is around $33,000. Price of a new car. That's kind of what's been the standard for a long time. It hasn't changed greatly, although it's increasing. And the cost of living is increasing. And so we're all worried about it. But if you think about all the things we talked about as benefits, and then coming out of an undergraduate school with $33,000 worth of debt, that might not be so bad. You know,
might not be so
if
bad,
you don't have
I mean,
a family supporting.
Yeah, but I mean, for some people, it's up in their 40s before they pay these things off. And so, you know, if it takes 20 years to pay these things off, you're building your family, you're buying your house, you're taking your kids on vacation. But, you know, that, we're talking about a long time that these things hang on you, right? So...
Well, I think we encourage students to think about this responsibly. It isn't insane to take loans out for college, but it is insane to take $200,000 of loans out for college and to get a degree in a career that isn't going to be high earning. So I am certainly a kid who took out loans and didn't read the paperwork very well as a high school senior. But when you take out so many loans that you can't ever repay those. So when students are getting good advice, they're able to do that thoughtfully and responsibly. And put themselves in a position that they'll be able to succeed after college, so they won't be crippled by that.
Well, look at Joe. I mean, Joe is like intimidated by the paperwork, and I think there's good reason to feel intimidated by the paperwork. You know,
I wasn't intimidated. I didn't have the time.
Is that what it was?
The time is immense. It's just a time suck. Because there's so much to look at and think about, and that's why we hired CollegeWise, and it all worked out for us. I had a couple of points. I'm a product of the Los Angeles community college system, and I was very thankful that they were there because I joined the military and didn't go to college right off the bat, and I was able to save a lot of money, which is our children stand on our shoulders, and I want him to get an education without having to pay anything, because if he's going to be an actor, he's going to go to L.A. when he's done. He's going to work at Cheesecake Factory at night, and he's going to have to pay rent, and I don't want him having a $2,000 a month bill. It's doable. I could have gotten those loans. He could have gone to Boston and could have gotten those loans, but, man, the hangover in 4 years, I might have thought, what in the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, but working at the Cheesecake Factory will help him pay for the dental bills to deal with the cavities from the cheesecake, right?
Yeah.
So I mean,
but I did have a question. Maybe one of these fellows here understands it, but I did notice just by talking to other parents at Newbury Park High School and even my own family, it seems that we're swapping kids across state borders. A lot of kids from here are going to Arizona. A lot of Arizonas are coming here. We went to Michigan. I looked it up. It was more than 49. I think it was 49.something% of the students at Michigan were out of state. $50,000 a seat versus $15,000. I know the answer is obvious, but how does that happen in this state where half our seats go away?
All right, which one of you guys want to take that one? You know,
part of it is what college want, what students want out of college. If a student decides they want to have the complete college experience with the big time football team and the dorm life and the campus experience
and the fraternity house,
sit under the tree, and suddenly they're thinking, well, maybe I'll go to UCLA that has 110,000 applications this year. Suddenly you think, maybe I should apply to the University of Arizona or the University. Maybe I should be a Duck in Oregon, you know, and because they're going to have the experience that I have that I'm having trouble getting into here. And so, you know, part of it is taking advantage of the great diversity. The other thing is, we like to name brand our children these days, and the University of Michigan, you know, is a prestigious place, and so people are willing to pay the premium instead of going to one of the Cal States that would provide a wonderful education and be goal directed.
Let me throw something in, and then Ryan can pick it up. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we do like to talk about our kids going to prestigious places. I love the idea that I've got a daughter coming out of Harvard. I love the idea that I got a son coming out of UCLA. I love the idea that I've got a daughter coming out of the University of Utah. Ducks, right? But I think, you know, that's for us. That's not for the kids. And that's not even the goal. I mean, take my daughter who's getting her master's in Harvard. Kids had A's from the time she was in kindergarten. I mean, you rise to the level of your competence, not your incompetence, as the Peter principle goes. So you rise to the level of your competence. If you're making A's all the way through school, shouldn't you go through a school that's challenging to you?
I would argue that most kids would be challenged at most colleges. There's a feeling, and I was talking earlier about Arizona State, which I'm a big fan of. A lot of my students who are high achieving feel like I'm too good. I've worked too hard to go there. But the reality is their programs, if you looked at the catalogs blind, you couldn't tell the difference between the business program at USC or at Arizona State necessarily. Families feel like the brand name creates this completely different education. And I really think a lot of that is up to the student. How engaged are you in classes? How much do you utilize your professors who are on campus? Are you a part of the Honors College? What are you taking advantage of? The name of a school doesn't give you a ticket to anything. You're still the like smart, hardworking, dedicated kid that you are when you walk in the door. What are you going to turn it into? So we're just paying for, we're paying for brand then. We're paying to drive a Lexus, which has the same parts inside as the Toyota, for twice the cost.
It's interesting you say that, because it used to be, we'll pick you up next, Ryan, used to be that we used to joke about, you know, a degree from Harvard and a dime will buy you a cup of coffee. You know, that, mm-hmm. that, you know, if you put two people next to each other and one gets their degree at LA Community College and the other one gets their degree at Harvard, which one's going to be the better fit for the job? It has nothing to do with what school they went to. It has to do with their talents. It has to do with their abilities to process and be part of a team. So you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's not about the name brand. It's about what you can do as an individual, right?
Yeah, I agree, Holland. And I think what we need to look at is, what does prestige mean? Cal State LA, which you mentioned earlier, they're number one in the nation for moving students from the bottom 20% of the income to the top 20%. Number one. They beat out Harvard. They beat out Stanford. But nobody's talking about Cal State LA as the number one college in the nation. But for that purpose, they are. And so I think students really need to look at what they want to get out of college and then match the university or the college system that aligns with it. With our community college systems, there's plenty of opportunity for students to get a degree or a certificate that could lead them to a field where they do incredibly well. Particularly in some of the technical degrees, we see, as an example, we are one of only 15 colleges in California. West LA College offers a degree in dental hygiene. You make about $80,000 part-time after you finish that degree, and the entire cost of the degree is less than 1 year at UC Santa Barbara.
I think I'm in the wrong business.
Part-time, 80 grand?
What the hell?
Four times 160?
You do have to have your hands in someone's mouth all day, though. So it's a trade-off.
I'll put my arms in their mouth for that.
So much for the Cheesecake Factory.
That's funny. You know, I think this is a wonderful conversation. I think it's great to have this kind of a public chat, because I think a lot of people do think that college is out of control, and that you know, when my kids have kids, how are their kids going to be able to afford to go to college? Because things never go down, they always go up. And so, you know, it's great to hear that the community colleges have opportunity, because from a community college, you can go to a four-year school. It's great to hear that there are companies like CollegeWise that will help you through the process. For a lot of parents, they don't even know where to begin. And it's great to hear that Sam is going to be a star.
Hey, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually thinking, or just from listening to everything, I was going over in my head another big difference that, I don't know, like, I've only lived 17 years. I can't, like, look back and, like, see what your whole generation has been doing, Dad. But what I've gathered is that we, as, you know, applying to colleges, and, you know, people my age and a couple years behind me and a couple years ahead of me have been applying to more than just four colleges. My list was like 13 colleges because of we want to go to these great colleges, and it's just getting more and more competitive every year. And that is because you need the college degree, and that is because the benefits of higher education. And I mean, it's a given. You want to go to a good college, and the whole idea that, you know, community college, you know, can't give the as good as, you know, I'm putting this in quotations, like as good of an education as USC or UCLA or where I'm going, UCSB. Which, I mean, obviously isn't the case, but that's somehow ingrained in how we all think, which forces us to apply to 15 colleges, you know, all of the Ivy Leagues, all of the UCs, all of everything, and applying to colleges is becoming a big expense.
Well, you made a good point. He makes a really good point. I mean, used to be you'd pick out a few schools and go to them. This guy is going to, 13 to 15 schools. So, I mean, that's a big undertaking.
And there is a stigma attached to community colleges. And I want to say that I've taught in community college. I taught psychology. And I've taught at USC. Now, the bill was very different for my students when they went to USC.
Was the paycheck different, too?
Paycheck's about the same.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So that was thankful. But I do want to say we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about affordability without talking about aid. There is federal financial aid and state financial aid available. At the federal level, you can qualify if your income qualified for the Pell Grant, which is about $6,000 a year. And then if you look at the Cal Grants are aligned to how that's our state financial aid system. That's aligned to how much the university costs. So at the community college system, it's about $1,500. At the Cal State, it covers about $8,000, which is the cost of attendance. And at the UC, about $14,000 or $15,000. The privates, they give $9,000 for. But what we see is that the aid is not matching what the costs of education are anymore. When the Pell Grant system was first developed, it paid 90% of what it costs to go to a four-year public school, meaning that you could work your way through college because you were only covering 10% of the total cost of what it cost. Now it's 40%. And so what we see is that we've actually taken the students that used to be able to work their way through college and put them 60% lower and then said, we want you to do the same thing. And if you can't, it must be because you're lazy or not trying as hard. And so the federal financial aid system has definitely changed. And if we are going to start correcting our tracks so that students in the future have opportunities to choose which colleges they're going to, there needs to be something done about how we make sure that low-income students can attend college, because it's not the way it used to be.
I'm curious about something. The K through 12 is paid for by taxes.
That's correct.
What about community college?
Community colleges are paid for by the taxes, and in fact, our tuition doesn't even come to us. It's part of our budget. It's built in. At the Cal State and the UC system, their budget is based on multitude of factors. One of them is a direct apportionment from the state. The other is tuition. And of course, as Jerry and I were talking, universities also bring in a lot of grant money related to their research that can help offset the true cost of education.
So when we hear politicians talking about free college, free community college, free this, free that, you know, chicken in every pot or whatever, well, is that doable? I mean, can we give free college to kids in this country?
Well, that was the promise in California back in the 60s when they developed the California Higher Education Master Plan, and the UCs and the CSUs were free. I bet you'd like that, Joe, right?
I remember when the community colleges were free.
And so the question is, anything is possible. It's a question of commitment and of priorities in terms of public policy.
All right. Well, let's go around the table and just sort of get a final thought from everybody. And why don't we start? Let's start with Allison.
I mean, my final thought is the drum I beat every time I can get in front of families and students is that you've got to look outside of the 30 names that you already know. There are more than 3,000 colleges in this country. The vast majority of them are saying yes to more kids than they're saying no to. That is just a fact. So to say that it's harder to get into college now is false. There's also more money out there than there ever has been. And so looking beyond the names that we know and considering schools that will roll out the red carpet and tens of thousands of dollars for a kid with a 3.2, that can make college really affordable for a student who isn't going to be competitive at the Harvards of the world. So look broadly.
I would just say make sure you think about what you want to do in life. That's almost as important as the fit that you look for at the institution. We see a lot of students who try to go to a particular college only to find out that that college doesn't actually have what they want. I just worked with a student who wants to go to Stanford to major in architecture. They don't have an architecture program. And so I think looking at exactly what you need to do to get to where you want to be in life is as important.
I remember I went to a liberal arts college, Centenary College in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I was going to be a lawyer. Can you imagine? And
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I can too, Your Honor. But I just sort of thought, you know, broadcasting is really what I want to do, and there are a lot of factors to that. But so I went to the University of Houston because they had a communications school, and so you move around based on what you decide you want to be when you grow up. You don't necessarily know in high school. You may not even know when you get into college. It's why we told the kids, start with just general subjects. Just start with liberal arts, and then move into what you want to major in. And that's probably pretty good advice anyway. You start off simple, and then you decide if you want to be something that requires certain kinds of units. But, you know, I think that, as with me 150 years ago, I went from one school to another school. That happens today as well. And it just sort of is probably a formative sort of a morphing of, now I'm a college student, now I want to be pre-med, now I want to be pre-law, now I want to be this, I want to be that, right? Is that basically the way to look at it, Jerry?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really important to get it done, you know, and to make sure that you're following your heart as you do it. And I think my piece of advice, Hal, is don't let anything stop you. I mean, we've talked a lot about costs, and that sounds like a barrier, you know.
It does sound like a barrier, yeah. But you know what? As you guys have pointed out, it's not necessarily a barrier.
Yeah, and so get it done, you know, get it done. And, you know, and frankly, when you get there, get that done too. The worst thing you can do is come out of college, have a loan, and not have a diploma. Right. So I think staying focused on the goal, keep your eyes on the prize, as they say, is the big deal.
Talk about the net. What is that called? The net.
Oh, sure. I would love to say this because this is, I think, really helpful about exactly what we've been talking about. Each school right now is required by the government to include on its website something called a net price calculator. This has you put in what you think your annual income is, and calculates for you what your expected financial aid would be if you attend that college, and gives you a sense of what financial aid you would receive, you know, well in advance. So it's a real aid to the college choice process.
Joe, what would you advise after going through the process with your son?
It's 2 points. And I want to be crystal clear on these. Number one, love your kid enough. Be disciplined enough to say, no, we just can't do this. Secondly, I want to give a shout out to the community college system, not only because I went there, but because I've noticed just in talking to parents and other students that Sam goes to school with, and we go to a suburban high school that's very good, 3,000 smart kids. There's an army of them going to Moore Park Junior College in Santa Monica. I'm dating a lady right now whose daughter graduated from El Camino and is now in the Moore Park Nursing Program with the Bridge Program at Cal State Northridge. This kid's going to make 80 grand coming out, and I bet she has less than $10,000 in debt when it's all done, if any debt. So there are ways to do this without spending big dollars. I just wasn't in that position at the beginning of the thing, but I love my kid enough to say no, no. And that's not easy. It breaks your heart.
And, you know, this idea of checking schools for what they offer, Moore Park Junior College offers a wild animal training course.
Yep.
Only one I know of in the country. Exotic animal training, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And they do this there and have for decades. And those people that want to work in circuses, want to work with animals, want to work as vets, that's a good school to go to. You know what? I'm not sure USC is a good school to go to for lions and tigers and bears.
Sam was going to go to Moore Park had he not gotten to Santa Barbara. You're going to Moore Park, buddy.
Moore Park's a good school.
Yeah, you're going to get 2 years and move on.
Yeah.
A lot of his friends are doing it.
Sam, what do you think?
Well, yes.
Piece of advice.
Well, speaking to the Moore Park thing real quick, on our school newspaper, there is usually the last edition. There is a whole, you open up the whole thing and it's on both papers. Sides.
Yeah.
It's a whole map of the United States, and we pinpoint where our seniors are going to college or where they say that they're going. And underneath, you know, all the universities, there's maybe a 4-inch tall span. Yeah, like probably that big. And it's across the whole
thing. In case
you
couldn't see his hand, it's about that big.
Yes, yes. And it goes across the whole 2 pages, and it's all the students that are going to Moore Park from our high school. And There's no shame in that.
No.
No, not at all. It's Moore Park is one of the top community colleges in the nation.
But see, I happen to be a believer in community colleges. I happen to think that community colleges are good for the community.
Yes.
And so my sense of it is that there's something for everybody. Now, do you need to go to college? I'm not sure you do. I mean, it's important to have a good education. But for some people, a trade school may be good.
That's
for
right.
some people, it may be that learning how to work on an engine in a car might be good. I mean, not everybody needs to come out a doctor, a lawyer, or a journalist. You know, it's not necessary. Some people are better at something that maybe is not a four-year school subject. So I think to take the advice that was given earlier, and I guess both Ryan and Jerry hit this, is know what you want to do. At least have an idea of what you'd like to do, because that would guide you into whether you go to a trade school, you go to a two-year school, you go to a four-year school, that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I hope that's given you some helpful information if you happen to be a family that's involved in trying to find a college for a relative of yours. I think the bottom line is there's a little something for everybody, but it really is a matter of getting out there and looking. Thanks for joining us. Subscribe if you would, and we'll talk to you next time.